Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
I think it's the most balanced offense they've had since Josh Allen has been there. They can beat you multiple ways. This is the offense McDermott has wanted. He's wanted a more physical offense that can run the ball. That's why I say I think they know they've got to be better at that when they play the Chiefs the next time.
The bye week.
Mike Danger.
Once again, the Bills get over on Chiefs in the regular season, so I think there's cautious optimism that in the postseason, if these two teams meet again, they can win that game. And I think Sean McDermott is beginning to believe.
Do you believe?
Gene Battaglia.
The Bills at 9-2. Kansas City at 9-1. How do you assess the race for the top seed? Getting that extra week of rest, not having to deal with a wild card round, that's a big advantage. How would you assess this race now between Buffalo and Kansas City?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Welcome to Happy Hour, and thanks for joining us here on the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Appreciate you stopping by. If you're listening in the free-to-download Odyssey app, maybe you're checking out the stream on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester. Like, subscribe, click that little bell for notifications. Or if you're checking out the stream on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. Today in the Sports Bar is a legendary day, an anniversary that we are celebrating today here in the Sports Bar.
I can't believe how quickly 7 years can go by here, because you think of where the Bills are now, and we are legitimately talking about one seed. And if we're talking about one seed, we're talking about a team that has a chance to play for a championship.
That's right.
That wasn't the case 7 years ago.
7 years ago, Sean McDermott's first year. This is a game I remember very vividly. I remember going to Orchard Park. I had friends in town from out of town, from the area originally, that moved away. And they're like, we're coming back, and we want to go to a Bills game. And we go and we watch the Bills take on the New Orleans Saints. And the Bills at this time, I think, were right around a 500 team. And they were farting around at this time of the season. But they didn't look dominant. There was missing pieces everywhere. A piece here, a piece there. Nothing really in terms of any sort of
team
cohesion.
Was cap hell.
Yes.
Nobody was really expecting everything. But that loss was as bad. They got run over.
They
were inept. And then there's some naked guy running on the field at the end of
Kamara basically doing whatever he wanted to do. Sean Payton absolutely outclassing Sean McDermott. And more than anything, Tyrod Taylor was atrocious in that game against the Saints. It was a dark, cloudy, gloomy, overcast, sprinkly, just a dank day. And everybody's mood was sour until they pulled Tyrod and brought in Nathan Peterman for mop-up duty in a game that was out of hand. They weren't winning that game.
There you score a touchdown. Yay! Fireworks.
So you fast forward a couple of days, and Sean McDermott's speaking to the media, and he makes an announcement. His announcement is that Nathan Peterman will be starting the Bills' next game when they travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. They're going to play in the soccer stadium. This is before SoFi was even open. And one man in particular, a coworker of ours, a guy named Chris, whose office was right next door to mine, big Bills fan. And if you follow this team, you have a Bills fan in your life who is like Chris, who views the team and is an eternal optimist, views it through rose-colored glasses all the time, and they will always believe that the best will come for their beloved Buffalo Bills. And so when this move was made, Gino, I think both you and I kind of recognize Nathan Peterman all along for what he is. He's a guy that they drafted, what, in the fifth round, sixth round, late round draft pick?
Yeah, fifth round. What are we doing? And we were trying to find the comp because you've had other guys go in because of injury. This was because of a coach's decision. Like, wait a second. He's not ready for this. This is bad. This is a head coach that we were questioning Sean McDermott as a head coach with this decision. We predicted what would happen.
Chris came into my office, and he shared his enthusiasm and said, hey, dude, do me a favor. We're on the air at 3 o'clock. Just poke your head down in the studio. Come on in and share your thoughts on this decision by Sean McDermott.
This is a masterstroke by McDermott.
Anything more than what Tyrod did last week, I would consider thriving for a Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Then that should be Peterman's stats after the first quarter.
Peterman is going to make mistakes.
He might not make it out of the first half.
I have been waiting since week one, and I think that Peterman, from everything we've seen in preseason and in the little bit in New Orleans... I think he's the man.
Dom, I'm warning you.
You watch, Gene.
You're crazy. Why can't it be us? Dude, you're going to be so disappointed.
I'm not. Monday. There is no way I'm going to be disappointed Monday.
He was disappointed Monday. And a legend was born.
And from that point on, we didn't call him Chris. This is what friends do, right? We just called him, hey, Masterstroke.
Yeah.
That was a Masterstroke. And we welcome in to the sports bar, the one and only, on this anniversary, now living in Florida.
Happy anniversary, Master Stroke.
Thank you, guys. It brings a tear to my eye to hear that when you replay and set the stage for that. I actually remember the excitement I had, Danger, when I did come into your office that day. And I look back on it now and think of how crazy it is, how far we've come, like you said, in 7 years, right?
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit remarkable, and not only as an organization, but as a head coach. Like, think about Sean McDermott and the audacity to make that decision as a rookie head coach versus the Sean McDermott that we just saw against Kansas City on Sunday. Really, kind of believing in the weapons that he has, showing a little bit of trust and a little bit of self-awareness there, and knowing, hey, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you can't take your foot off the gas.
I agree. It's amazing, and I don't know how you guys felt when he decided to go for it, but I didn't. When it became fourth and two, I knew that he had to go, and I think he learned enough from the 13 seconds and every other thing that's happened to the Bills in the playoffs with the Chiefs that, like he said at the end of the game when he was interviewed, you can't give Mahomes another chance, and it's great that it worked out. And listen, we got a quarterback that – puts people on his shoulders, including the entire team and the fan base. And there's no way he was going to be stopped from getting a first down, let alone a touchdown. And it feels pretty good after all the suffering we've been through with Peterman and Tyrod and the 15 quarterbacks after Jim Kelly, right up to that point, to know that, like, we may have the top guy in the league, if not arguably the top two.
Masterstroke, our guest here, as he is now down in Florida. And for anybody that might be new to the show, where that one take you had about the Peterman game was bad, but the thing that was remarkable, Danger, was that it was bad take after bad take after bad take after bad prediction. You were just on a roll over the years here, Chris.
Yeah, we'll never forget your Super Bowl prediction when it was the Rams and former Bills head coach Wade Phillips as the defensive coordinator against those hated New England Patriots.
I do have faith that Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, will find a way to take some pieces of Brady's arsenal out of the game. I would be shocked right now if Edelman had a good game in the Super Bowl. I think Phillips is smart enough to take him out, and I don't think he's going to be a factor. The one thing I do like, by the way, and I will say this, I know there's a lot of prop bets on this. I don't know what the number is on Chris Hogan. I just have a gut feeling that he's going to have a big game for the Patriots because they're going to take Edelman out.
I mean, you're the best. The former head coach of the Bills is going to neutralize the guy who would eventually be the Super Bowl MVP, and the former Bills wide receiver is going to rise up and have an unbelievable game for the New England Patriots. And, of course, that's why we love you, Masterstroke. Wildly inaccurate in your predictions.
It's unbelievable when I hear things like that now, to think of the moish that I put on that player by saying that. It's unbelievable that power was available to me. And I unfortunately never used it to any type of monetary advantage, which I probably should have done back then.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people they're actually concerned that you're appearing on the show, knowing that you have this history of just saying good things about the Bills, and then bad things are sure to follow. But that's in the past. That's in the past. You called the last time you actually gave a prediction on this show. You called Ravens losing to the Bills 23-20. Wouldn't you know that was the exact score, how it played out?
From a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But I actually like the Bills in a low-scoring game, like 23-20. We've always figured out how to stop their offense, thankfully. Not completely, but we seem to have always had a decent time against Lamar Jackson. And they always seem to be a lot lower scoring than usual. I just have a feeling it's going to be lower scoring. And the Bills will be right around their spread with a three-point win somewhere in there. But I like them in the low 20s, somewhere there.
It's possible, Masterstroke, but we're going to hold you accountable one way or the other. So you've got them winning something that they normally don't do, a close game against the Ravens. You say 23-20 on Sunday.
I do. That goal for their last eight has got to end somewhere. And I think it ends this week.
We have a theory, Masterstroke. Our theory in the sports bar is that the further south you got, the more rational your head became. And because you're out of the blast zone, now you make predictions correctly. We have no use for you. I mean, you're essentially banned from the show until you can start making some wildly inaccurate picks again.
Yeah, and you know what? If you had talked to me before the season, and I think, Gene, you were with me on this, if I listened correctly, I thought the Bills this year going into the season, I thought they'd be at 9 wins, and they're there already. And I know you guys weren't far off from your prediction earlier this year, right? With total wins for them?
They've exceeded my prediction. I thought they were an 8-win team.
Yeah, I had 10-7, which means, boy, this would have to go really bad in order for that to happen. I guess, dare I ask this question, Masterstroke, how do you see the rest of the season playing out for Buffalo?
Well, if I take it game by game, I think we handle the 49ers. And the reason I think that, there's two reasons. One, they've struggled and not looked like the same 49ers we've seen the last few years. But two, and I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet because it's only a couple games after the Chiefs game, McDermott has never lost after a bye week.
Yep.
And I know that doesn't matter really anything from year to year, but to me it means something that he gets them prepared somehow. So I like him to beat San Fran. I don't know about that Rams game. I think back to, what was it, the season opener a couple years ago where we pretty much handled them. Mm-hmm. And they might have been a better team then than they are now. So we'll see. But the game I'm really looking forward to is that Detroit game. I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but there's no better Super Bowl that I would love to see, and I'm sure you guys might even agree, than a Detroit-Buffalo where at least somebody wins a bowl for the first time. And I think that game has the makings of the Chiefs-Rams game a few years ago where the over-under was 60. I think it ended up being 54-51.
Right.
So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what they do with Detroit because, honestly, I don't think there's a better benchmark right now in the NFL than that. And then the last three games, I mean, they should win those games. So, you know, I think there might be a couple losses sprinkled in between then and now, but I certainly think they got that home field's in play.
You're growing like McDermott here. You're saying home field is in play. I thought for sure we're going to win the Super Bowl. Look at this. Nothing. You're growing up here, Masterstroke. You are learning just as Sean McDermott is.
I'm trying, Gene. I hate to set expectations that high. I will tell you that the week before where they beat Miami on that Bass 61-yard field goal, my family was ready to disown me because I said when they lined up for the field goal, there's no way he's making it to phone overtime.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, he's back. Our resident mush. You're the best. Chris, thanks for making time for us on your ride. Happy anniversary, buddy. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Go Bills.
You got it. There's Masterstroke on the 7-year anniversary of the Nathan Peterman game. The day where Master Stroke was born as a legend in the sports bar, our resident mush.
You know, if I had time, wouldn't you want to go back and watch that game just to say, oh my gosh, this is where the Sean McDermott era was at its lowest? Coming out of that, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, is this a one and done in Buffalo? Like, we went that poorly with that decision, thinking everything was going to kind of go sideways. Well, they get a win after that. Then you have the snow game against the Colts. They cobble together some wins in December, and then you get the Andy Dalton miracle there. Yeah. Week 17.
Yeah, and the drought in his first year as head coach. Yeah, I think it's interesting to look back at where they were versus where they are now and how they all have grown, and McDermott is on top of that. Everybody, we're all critical of the guy. And right now it's hard to be critical of anything he's done. This season, he's done a great job. There have been a handful of times where you could kind of scratch your head and be like, all right, well, what was that at the end of the Houston game? And
you know, it's funny, when we're joined by Matt Parrino, and it's like, hey, after we went over Chiefs, we don't want to nitpick, but you brought in John Perry to be your guy here. And like, what are we challenging that
for? You shouldn't be challenging anything unless you're 100% sure. And as bad as it was then for the Bills, we're talking about a team in his first year that did make it eventually to the postseason. There's no hope with the New York Jets. There's no hope. It's gone. Any hope that you had is over. I mean, if you went into this season, and a lot of us did, myself included, just a reminder to everybody that championships aren't won on paper. Because you can look at the paper, you can look at the roster of this Jets team and be like, talented team.
You said Jets had a better roster than Buffalo.
On paper, the Jets have a better roster than Buffalo. But again, you have a dysfunctional organization that starts at the top, firing their head coach earlier this season. And today, their GM. And it shouldn't be a surprise. Joe Douglas, his contract was expiring. Maybe they get a jump on the NFL GM market by moving on from him now. Or maybe it's just so bad and so ugly that something was said or something was done where it's like, we just need to part ways at this point. This is bad.
Well, at this point, Danger, you're done, right, with Rodgers, right?
What are He's not coming back. Who's Rodgers, not just to the Jets, any team. Who wants him when you watch him play? Hell, when you watched him play in Green Bay, it was shocking to me that the Jets gave up what they gave up just to get him.
They gave up a second-round pick and a first-round pick swap.
Yeah.
For that.
That's right. So the idea that with the Jets, you're now gone, your head coach is gone, your GM is gone, your quarterback probably isn't coming back in 2025, and I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be some hot commodity for another team. I tend to doubt it. So you're starting from scratch. Once again, with the New York Jets, starting from scratch. And if you're Joe Douglas, I think you're going to be fine. Joe Douglas is responsible for drafting a lot of very talented players. Joe Douglas might be also responsible for whiffing on quarterback in the draft. And if you do that, you don't get too many second chances with a team. But I think Joe Douglas is going to be okay. The Jets, however, will not be okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, Robert Saleh counting his money, being in Green Bay, like, it's wrong to derive pleasure off of somebody else's failure, but if that failure is the reason you're in a different spot right now, Robert Saleh, I think, has every right to kind of chuckle about what's going on in New York right now.
Right. And again, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. None of us should be surprised, because this is what the Jets have been with Woody Johnson as their owner all along. You can't fire the owner.
It's like, we said this earlier, I think it looks more true right now. Like, who is the team that's closest to challenging Buffalo?
It's New England.
By far.
It's New England.
By far.
Yes.
They have a clean cap. You might have something at quarterback. Still on a rookie deal. Now the Jets are so far in the rear view. Look, we kind of knew, right? Like, for the Jets, it's not going to be this team that's going to win the Super Bowl, like Mike Clay of ESPN said, but I didn't expect it to go this bad, this poorly. For Aaron Rodgers, really, that's the story here, right? He's the cancer on this team.
Nobody was upset when he left Green Bay. Usually you'll hear teammates or fans or nobody really said, you know, we know Devontae Adams liked him, whatever, but like when he left, it was like, okay, bye. Good luck out there. That should have been your first tell. And I think everything that we've heard about Aaron Rodgers is accurate. And I think the most polite way to characterize him is he is the guy who has to be the smartest guy in the room at all times. I think I'm being polite when I say that. That's me characterizing his personality, who he is. And for some people, that might be, and you know, if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you love that guy. You want to be around that guy.
All right. But in the ultimate team sport like football.
Can't be that guy.
No.
Cannot be that guy.
No.
866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
Yeah, just a word. Like, if you're going to call in and say, hey, I want to just pass it along, the answer is no. Okay? I'm screening the calls here. So, if you... No.
Somebody's trying to get through our producer?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. I don't know. If you want to come on, I'll talk to you real quick. I will screen you, but I'm not going to listen to your take off the air and validate your take. Okay? If you're going to call...
You're getting on the air.
You're getting on the air. Have some fortitude. Yeah,
you're getting on the air if I mean, I'm going to revert to Romy and back in the day was have a take, don't suck.
Yeah.
Have a take, don't suck. It's a simple rule in sports talk radio. And look, we love doing this every day. We love the interaction. We love getting you on with us at 866-4326.
But if your first words out of your mouth are, hey, I don't want to go on the air, but if you can tell the guys, nope. You want to do that, then you write us on X.
Sure.
Very simple. The Fan Rochester. If you don't want to come on the air and you still want to get your take, and if we deem just by writing to us on X doesn't mean we're going to read it on X, you know, but that's right. Another way to reach us.
Yeah. Well, the regulars, some of the regulars need a little bit of training. That's all.
That's all.
Let's get to a round of shots next.
Oh, yeah. I hated seeing this last night. Ovechkin getting hurt. We'll give you an update on his status. Oh, how are things going with the Philadelphia 76ers? We haven't gotten this story yet.
Yeah.
This coming across today. The NBA tonight is a really interesting game. We have the MLB award season upon us here, Danger. And then, yes, it is it's a time of year where coaches get fired at every level of football. But I've never seen a coach after he get fired, doing something like this.
All right, we'll get to a round of shots next. And with those rules in mind, don't forget, last call coming up before 6 o'clock, 585-866-4FAN. You can have the final say in the sports bar, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
More turmoil for the New York Jets today. They fired GM Joe Douglas. Phil Savage, the former Browns GM, will take over on an interim basis. As for the Bills, things looking good here in terms of the record and the bye week. Sean McDermott on what he plans to work on.
A little bit of it is rest. I think a little bit of it is, you know, having a chance to do some self-scouting and evaluation of what we do and how we do things and fundamentals as well. I think the other part is, you know, making sure, you know, we put together a good game plan for when the players return as well.
Boston Bruins today firing head coach Jim Montgomery, assistant coach Joe Sacco taking over. Longtime St. John Fisher football coach Paul Vosburgh announcing his retirement today. Vos had been the head coach there since the year 1991. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. 95.7 FM, The Fan Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, time for a round of shots.
Alex Ovechkin off to the best start in his career. Who would have thought that? Up to 15 goals already on the season. He's only 27 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record of 894 career goals. But things on hold right now. Leaving last night's game with a knee injury, the Capitals saying, all right, it's not season ending. It's not major, but it's not anything that he's going to be on the ice anytime soon. They're terming it week to week. As we mentioned, best start for Ovechkin. He's never scored 15 goals in the first 18 games of the season. The Sabres, by the way, they begin the West Coast swing tomorrow night against the LA Kings.
Now, going into this season, I know a lot of people were on this story. Ovechkin's going to break Gretzky's record. Ovechkin, he's going to do it. I'm still doubtful. I would actually be more surprised.
What?
Believe it or not. I will be surprised when he breaks that record. I will give him his credit and say, that's amazing. I really don't know that I see him breaking this record.
Okay, they're off to a good start. But again, like, he's at a goal. So why would you think...
Age.
Okay, he would get to, at minimum, if healthy, 30 goals this year. I still think he could get to 30 goals this year.
We don't know how severe this knee injury is. And we don't know how he comes back in response to this knee injury.
Okay, well, that's fair. But he's going to be here until he gets that record.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Leona, like...
At some point, the body breaks down. At some point, you look around and you just can't...
Again, the eye test doesn't work. Ovechkin isn't the guy like Jaromir Jagr, who's, you know, skating twice a day and doing everything to, you know, keep his career going. If Jagr could, he'd be playing in the league right now. He loves the sport that much. Ovechkin's just a different guy. It's funny how you get one championship and the image of this guy changes.
Oh, everybody hated this guy.
Everybody hated him. He was the forward who didn't back check, just didn't. But then he became this lovable figure who had this magical playoff run.
Maybe I'll lighten up on my stance. Maybe he gets it, but I don't think it's this season. I know he's gotten off to a hot start.
No.
But I, you're only 27 away from breaking Gretzky's record. I just wonder how much longer will Washington or another team say, yeah, he's got it. And I don't know the severity of this knee injury. If he comes back and he looks like Ovi and he's playing at the same clip that he's playing at to start this season, then I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, man, at his age and with all the wear and tear on his body, I think it's going to be tight.
Do you think there are people rooting against this knowing how beloved Wayne Gretzky
is? Well, I love Gretzky. Gretzky... As a hockey player growing up, as a fan of the sport, there will never be anybody better in my mind than Gretzky. Never. And I don't care if Ovechkin goes beyond Gretzky's goal record. To me, it's always going to be Gretzky 1. And you know, the generation prior to me would probably argue, Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe was the complete package. He did it all. Yeah. Maybe that's where we're all different. Maybe this is the Jordan LeBron debate of the NHL. But for me, it'll always be Gretzky. I don't care if Ovechkin breaks his record or not. Nobody did what Gretzky did as far as his impact on the game, his play of the game, how he went about it. He's just unbelievable.
It's going to be one of those debates because then you could say, well, look at the goaltending now as opposed to when Gretzky was. Look, it's going to be weird not to have the great one at the top. I think it's inevitable that the Ovechkin's going to break this record, but it's going to be on hold.
I'll be happy if it happens, but I'm not holding my breath. I actually think that it's going to be tight. I don't know how much. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, this is kind of common in sports, right? Team down and out. We got to have a meeting. Let's have a meeting. And that's what the 2-11 Philadelphia 76ers did. But this wasn't your typical meeting. When the players got together, according to Shams Charania of ESPN, that's where Tyrese Maxey called out Joel Embiid for being repeatedly late to team meetings.
Good.
Players then told Sixers coach Nick Nurse they want to be coached harder.
Good.
The coaches said, okay, well, we'll coach you harder, and we want you to practice with purpose and attention to detail.
Good. Because I get the sense that Embiid is a problem. And for as good as he's been, he can't be what he's been so far this year and expect people to just give him a pass, including his own teammates. I love that Maxey called him out.
Well, can you say the one that really needs to be called out is Morey, the GM? Because, hey, it didn't add up night one. It's opening night. You played in the Olympics, but you're out because of left knee management?
Guy's always injured. He's always injured. He's going to be injured for the rest of his career. You're always going to have to deal with this. So with that in mind, if you're the Sixers, if you're Morey, trade him. get him off the team. Get something now while he still has some value before he completely breaks down and make him somebody else. He's the sabotage drop of the NBA. Get something of value. Get him out. Maxey, in doing what he just did, that's leadership. That's a leader on that team.
What do you think they're saying on WIP in Philadelphia?
Get rid of him.
They're like, this is Maxey's team.
Get rid of him.
Maxey's team.
Get something in return. Get rid of him.
Got a marquee matchup in the NBA tonight. 15-0 Cleveland. Yes, if you haven't been paying attention, the Cavs. And look, they haven't done it against all slappies. They've beaten the Bucks twice, the Knicks. 15-0 Cleveland playing 11-3 Boston in the Garden tonight. 7 o'clock on TNT. That's going to be followed up by Oklahoma San Antonio. The Spurs without second-year player Victor Wembanyama. The 20-year-old has a right knee contusion.
So when you see a team like Cleveland go 15-0 to start the season, do you pay attention to that, or do you view it as you would like the Rays having the hot start that they had to start the Major League Baseball season a couple of seasons ago, right? Like, it's such a long season and so much can happen and injuries can become a factor that you don't want to get too overly enthusiastic over a 15-0 start.
Right. This is the best start since the Warriors start where they just kind of stomped their way through and they won a championship. I don't think Cleveland has actually that many. Look, you give them credit. And they're in the conversation. I think a lot of us entering the year were like, oh, if you're ranking the East, it's Celtics, Knicks, and then maybe the Sixers. No. Now Cleveland is the top challenger to Boston. Maybe Boston wins tonight.
Yeah, I would say you put Cleveland now safely ahead of teams like Milwaukee and even Philadelphia, obviously, with the slow start to Philadelphia. So they're entering the chat. And tonight's a nice test. If they can get past Boston and move to 16-0, it's still November, and there's a lot of the season left to be played, obviously. It's a nice story, but I'm not reading so much into it that I'm thinking, oh, Cleveland's the team in the East to beat. I don't know.
I got to be honest. I don't know if this is a normal game where you're on the normal floor, or is this going to be the...
I think this is an NBA Cup game.
Oh, NBA Cup game. Great.
I think so. God, we really should know this. But yeah, I mean, are we paying attention to the NBA?
No, we can be honest with everybody.
Are we paying attention to the NBA at this time of year? Not as much as we probably are when football season is done.
That is true. We certainly didn't pay attention to the MLB awards last night. Oh, right. That's beginning. Tonight, it's going to be the managers of the year announced at 6 o'clock. In the American League, three teams from the Central, A.J. Hinch of Detroit, Matt Quatraro of the Royals, and Stephen Vogt of the Guardians.
NL. Congratulations. They'll get nominated because they get to beat up on the White Sox all season long.
Right. Carlos Mendoza, the Mets in the National League. Mike Schilt of the Padres. Pat Murphy of Milwaukee are up for the award. The Rookie of the Year went to two pitchers. Paul Skeens, the Pirates. Luis Gil of the Yankees.
Deserving. Who gets the Manager of the Year awards, Gino?
I think it is Mendoza on the Mets.
I agree.
And I'm going to go off the board and say A.J. Hinch. Even though Cleveland won, Detroit was so kind of down and out.
Feels right.
Coaches get fired all the time. They do. Charlotte football head coach Biff Poggi.
Oh, Biff.
Yeah, Biff.
Hey, Biff.
Is that the character from...
Yeah, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, he's the bully.
Yeah, Biff
listen,
Poggi.
Listen, Biff. No, Biff.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty good there. You're doing the dad there.
Oh, I could do a Crispin Glover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crispin Glover. A lot of... repeated viewings of Back to the Future. Back
keep
in the day.
Your hands off her.
Yeah.
Biff Poggi went 6-16 in Charlotte. Oh, well. Fired after not even two full seasons. Here's where it gets a little weird. First day of practice for the team following the firing and walking onto the field with his arms in air in victory is the fired head coach. The players all stop what they're doing. They run over to him. Security doesn't care. Poggi has every reason to celebrate. The school's going to be paying him $1.3 million to do nothing.
Wow, congratulations. Hey, for what it's worth, Charlotte, I am willing to adopt your team as my dynasty in NCAA. And I have a feeling I can guide the program to a better than 6-16 record. So my phone line is open. Feel free to reach out to me. I could do as good, if not a better job than Biff Poggi based on my experience in NCAA 25. Thank you.
What is Biff short for? That was the only time I've ever heard that name.
Bifford?
Yeah.
Biff. It's just got to be a, like a, You can't even say it's like a nickname or a shortening of the middle name.
No.
Unless your initials are like BF, Benjamin Franklin Poggi, Biff. You stay away, Biff. 1.3 million to suck at your job.
Mike Danger, the hidden talent for impressions.
Tomorrow on the show.
We have a little different segment coming up tomorrow.
Tell me about this.
So, new sponsor of the show, We Have a Hobby, Breaking. Are you familiar with Breaking, Danger?
So, I have a friend from Chicago who for, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago, he reached out to me and he was in the industry and he reached out to me and he's like, hey, I want you to voice my show. I'm like, what show are you talking about? He's like, I do a show on YouTube called Top Shelf Breaks. I'm like, oh, tell me about it. And you know, he's trying to explain it to me and I didn't really understand it, but he gave me the scripts and I read his thing. So I was like the voice of his YouTube show.
Now, welcome back to Top Shelf Breaks.
Right, yeah, right, okay. Right. Okay. And so I still, and I know We The Hobby here locally has become like the source for breaking. And I would just love to learn more about it because it sounds like a lot of fun, especially if you're a sports fan. This is kind of cool, right?
Yeah, they do the live stream of the break. And then the cool thing is, oh my gosh, do you end up with something that could actually be valuable? We'll talk to them. And then, we'll have our guy PJ Glasser stopping by too tomorrow.
Yeah, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. So a lot of winning tomorrow on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you want to play some wagers on college or pro football, we'll have PJ for that. And if you want to learn more about breaking, We The Hobby coming in at 4:25 tomorrow afternoon. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We're back on the air tomorrow starting at 3. Big thank you to our guests this afternoon. Tuesday, always a whirlwind here in the Sports Bar. Michael F. Florio from NFL Network with your Week 12 waiver wire report. Mike Leone, head coach of the Rochester Americans in advance of tomorrow night's game against Laval and this weekend's Friday night tilt against Hershey and Saturday night matchup against Utica. And Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard who shared some thoughts of the Buffalo Bills as they're in their bye week. All of those appearances, all of those conversations available wherever you get your podcasts. Just search out the Sports Bar. That includes the free-to-download Odyssey app. Big thanks to everybody for checking us out on the YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. JR Sport Brief next on The Fan Rochester. Have a great night.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.